I had a friend who was a couple years ahead of me in the seminary. And during one of his graduate study years, he was sent by his diocese in Bridgeport to go help out at a parish for Christmas season. And it turned out that the parish he was sent to was the parish that encompassed the Sandy Hook school where the terrible shooting took place, where 20 children were killed. And he had to preach on Gaudete Sunday, which can be difficult because this was a place that was still very raw from the experience of having had the terrible shooting. Excuse me. But nonetheless, that joy had to be proclaimed. Because even then there was a debate among clergy about whether or not they should celebrate Gaudete Sunday or just instead call it the third Sunday of Lent, of Advent. In other words, not to call it a day of joy. But that misses the whole point of what Christian joy is about. Christian joy is not about a life devoid of suffering. Otherwise, we would never rejoice, because the world is full of suffering. I mean, who among us has had a perfect year this year? Maybe we've lost a loved one, or a job, or had a relationship end, or we find ourselves alone. Maybe there's a chronic illness that you're dealing with, or that a family member is dealing with. And yet, we have this day of rejoicing. Now, Paul, who writes today about the joy that we should have, is not out of touch, nor are the other New Testament writers, nor Isaiah. Isaiah was dealing with being in exile, a terrible exile in Babylon, and yet he's talking about the day of rejoicing. Paul and the other New Testament writers are dealing with things like persecution, executions, beatings, shipwrecks, and imprisonment. Life was not easy for any of them, and yet they're talking about rejoicing. In fact, many of the letters that Paul writes about rejoicing take place in a prison cell. So he's not out of touch with our reality of having a life that has suffering in it. Christian joy exists not because death and suffering are absent, but because they don't have the last word. Jesus, when he came into the world, saw to that by overcoming death through his death and resurrection. In fact, Christ himself on the cross was, even as he hung in agony, experiencing the perfect joy of doing the Father's will, of fulfilling his mission that was given to him by God the Father. We know deep inside that we're meant for perfect joy, for something greater than this world of exile we're experiencing. And the hope is fulfilled through Christ. And our way to experience it is through the church that he founded. That's why he founded the Catholic Church, so that we could take part in his joy. He said that he came so that our joy might be complete, not that our life would be perfect. That completeness of joy doesn't happen in this world. But in this world, we prepare for that life of joy. And we experience that joy most deeply when we participate in the sacraments. This is why it's still not too late to have a great Advent. We have that this 1 week, but if you haven't been to confession yet, what a great thing to do, to have that clean slate. Or if you haven't gotten as much prayer in during Advent as you would like, what a wonderful time to spend this week experiencing the Christian joy of being united to Christ, even in the midst of suffering. We have to look at life as St. Therese did. She said, "The world is thy ship and not thy home." If we try to put everything that we want where joy is concerned in this world, we're always going to be faced with disappointment. And the ship that we're in is sometimes full of happiness and fun, and other times full of suffering and death. Not unlike a carnival cruise. That's a cheap shot. This is why we have to look at it as a destination that we're going to. So whatever your experience of the world is right now, whether it's full of happiness, rejoice. And if it's full of suffering, still rejoice, not in the suffering, but in the idea that we're made for more than that. We're made for more than this world. As St. John Vianney said, the eyes of the world see only this life, but the eyes of the Christian gaze deep into eternity.